So you're thinking about traveling full time, but you still have a job and you're trying to figure out what places have good Wi-Fi. What can I do? Am I stuck in coffee shops all the time? How do I have community and still get my job done? These are some really important questions, and by the end of today's episode, we will be covering them all so that you can know what your options are as a digital nomad or someone working remote and wanting to travel at the same time. So let's go ahead and dive in. So as you may know, my husband and I are going to be doing a year-long trip, and we've begun our research. We need stable Wi-Fi, and we also need an amazing community to spend time with. So we're looking for options, and we've stumbled across two different terms that are really important to know. The first one is co-working, and the other one is called co-living. Co-working is a shared workspace with internet, desks, sometimes social activities are planned, but the focus of the space is on working. They may have separate meeting rooms, or you might just get to pick a random desk in the space. Oftentimes there's monthly or yearly memberships, sometimes as little as a day pass is possible for a choice, and you basically pay to work in this space. Many remote jobs or employers that allow you to work remote can even pay for these memberships for you, so you aren't responsible for the cost. Or there is co-living options. Now, this makes me think of frats or college dorms where we're all together, but it is still a bit of a different experience. Co-living is where you have a shared community space, usually a kitchen, a living room, some kind of shared area for everyone to gather, but then you are paying rent for that dorm-styled sharing or an apartment that you have to yourself or just a single room. And this doesn't require that it has a workspace or all these other necessities for working, but it does give you a place to sleep at night and a place to gather with people. And each of these co-living places can be very different. Some of them are multi-generational. Some of them have a specific focus, like we're all here to learn about entrepreneurship, or we're all here to grow in our faith, or we're all here for X, Y, and Z purpose. And some of them are more hostile, some of them are more luxurious. It can range drastically depending on what you're looking for. Now let's take a moment and consider the history of co-living. At first glance, honestly, it sounds a little cringeworthy. I love having my own apartment, I love having my own space, my own kitchen, etc. But I also want to cut down on costs while traveling. If you can relate to that, then this history may help you better understand what you're getting into. So we can trace nomadic life way, way back. Adam and Eve were roaming the world. God gave us the command to go and multiply. We can see throughout the Bible, the Israelites many times were traveling around the world, mainly from Egypt to Israel and anywhere else in between. But they were roaming because God gave them a purpose and a mission and a story to tell. And as they're roaming, they often would stop and stay in a clustered group. So you'd be sharing resources and community space. You'd be with all these other people all the time. We can also see this when we have the Oregon Trail and the covered wagons as they progressed across the country to some unknown destination, hoping to strike it rich with gold. They would often circle up at night, not only to keep them safe, but also to have that community-styled conversation and dinners, and then kind of segregate off to families, which might include grandparents and aunts and uncles, for their separate wagons. But in America, when the Industrial Revolution struck, we saw a huge transition from everybody living under the same roof to more of just the nuclear family. There are still different populations, like Hispanic families, that may still practice the multi-generational style, but it's more common here in the States anyway for it to just be parents and their kids. But this hasn't been the conclusion of the story. You see, there's this transition happening, in part because of the economy, in part due to social media, and in part due to technological advancement, where we're switching from this love of possession, of owning a house, of owning X, Y, and Z, to more of let's have experiences. Let's get an RV and travel full time. Let's go and see as many places around the world as possible. And to do that at a less expensive cost, there are an increase of co-living options where collectively you're sharing a space so that you can cut back on costs. This really started in Berlin and Denmark and has blown up around the world, but it has traced its roots through time, and we can see that co-living is something that maybe isn't quite as intimidating as it first seems. On the other hand, we have what is co-working. Co-working? No, we're not all working for the same business or corporation. Some of us may be self-employed or working for an employer remotely. But when did this idea of gathering in the same place with a bunch of strangers come about? Well, we can trace it back to 1995 in Berlin, when a group of hackers decided to get together and brainstorm about codes together and just have this communal setting. Over time, they began to add social events, and later the term was coined as co-working. Bernard De Koven was the one to be credited with this term, but his idea wasn't so much co-working as being a physical space where you all meet. It was much more of a an idea of being connected with people, of sharing of ideas, and less about the space that they were in. So many spaces began to pop up around the world, and in 2005, Brad Newberg started a co-working space in San Francisco, and that is kind of, he is credited as being the one to really take it off. He added things like free Wi-Fi, shared lunches, bike rides, meditation massage, and then the building was strictly closed at 5:45 p.m. because the work day had ended. And this idea blew up, and over the next several years, there became thousands of co-working places. And then we reach 2020, where there's suddenly a full business shutdown across the globe. And you would think that this would maybe hurt co-working places, but it actually has helped long-term. You see, many businesses have realized they don't need four walls and to pay for utilities because people can work remote. So they've started to create the opportunity for people to work from anywhere. Now many people choose for coffee shops and places with internet and food. But if you're also wanting community, these co-working places around the world have just been blowing up as an alternative option. If you're wanting more information about the history of these places, I'll link more resources below. But the real question is, how does this change travel? Well, it changes it in a number of ways, but the first thing we need to look at is what it means to be a remote worker, because those are the people most affected by co-working and co-living options. Now, remote workers can have what are called asynchronous and synchronous jobs. Asynchronous jobs are ones that you don't have to be in the same time zone. In fact, you may never have meetings together at all because you have people 12 hours apart around the globe, and they're not even awake during the same hours. As long as you're meeting your deadlines and getting things done, that's all that matters. Whereas synchronous jobs require you to be available during certain hours of the day, therefore your time zones must overlap at least in part to be available for those meetings. So depending on what your current remote situation is, it affects what your options are as a remote worker. So my husband and I are somewhere in between, probably a little bit more towards the synchronous side, where we have to find locations that match part of his schedule, but we do have some flexibility in that as well. But the biggest way that this actually impacts your travel is that there is availability in places around the world that have stable internet, have community, and have options for you to continue your work while still traveling. And what I think is one of the more sought after is more of a combination of the two, a co-working and co-living option. So that's what we're going to focus on in this segment. So co-working and co-living is an option where they offer some kind of style of dormitory or apartment style living, but in addition to the communal area that is your work or is your kitchen and your living space, they may also have a communal office. Now, depending on the place, there are some things to keep in mind here. Some places have the workspace, but the people there are much more there for the travel and for the partying. And so we need to be mindful when reading reviews and choosing places that we're going to. If our work is what's paying for the travel, we need to have an environment that is encouraging our work. So keep that in mind, but we have some places to consider or businesses that offer different co-working and co-living options. So the first one is called Outsight. It's based on the idea of slow travel, where you stay anywhere from a week to a month at that location, and they have destinations around the world with internet, Wi-Fi, and a working desk, and communal activities. I've heard good and bad reviews from these, so keep that in mind. Others are Selena, Sun & Co., Nomadico, Her Expat Life, Nomad Stays, Cowork Surf, and Co-Living Compass. One thing I do want to note about these places is that I really liked, at least on the website, Nomad Stays and Cowork Surf because it outright said what you could expect for upload and download speeds. And that just seemed like a really important piece for me to know before walking into my travels. Now, there's always options for, like, many of these have many different destinations. Sun & Co., I think, only has one, but many of these have destinations either in a region, so like multiple places in Mexico or throughout most of Europe, or they're fully global as well. But keep in mind that, say, you're really wanting to go to Denmark or really wanting to go to Germany, you can look for more ma and pop single run ones that aren't so globally spread. And one of the drawbacks maybe of the global ones is they often require a membership. So in addition to paying your rent, which usually it includes everything, your utilities, your everything's just included in that one price, but they also tack on then the membership fee to be able to book any of their things in the first place. So additional costs. But you also may have a better expectation across the board, though not always true, of what the experience will be like. Now, I would be remiss to talk about this without also mentioning that there are some groups that are organized for travelers who are remote workers. Essentially, what it is this package includes your destination in different places. You get to travel with the same community for the whole entire time, and go from place to place, knowing that you're going to have Wi-Fi, a community that wants to work from 9 to 5, and then travel and enjoy the destination on the weekends. These tend to be more costly. Many of them have an annual membership to book through their programs, some kind of fee to travel to on their trips, and then they can have different amounts of availability. No, not availability. What I'm talking about is they have different amounts of things included. So, like, oftentimes the flights to get there aren't included. Your excursions on the weekend aren't included in the fee. For instance, these programs include Remote Year, Hacker Paradise, Wi-Fi Artists, Wi-Fi Tribe. All of them have different programs, and I've looked most closely at Remote Year. It's probably the most well-renowned one. But my husband and I aren't really leaning towards it because it's costly. They leave you stranded for a week without a real plan, which is a nice break, I think, for the community leaders and things. But there's just a lot of things that aren't included in the fee. But you do have guaranteed Wi-Fi and a guaranteed place to sleep at night. So what does this mean for you as a traveler? I think it's really important, again, to read reviews. Know what your employer is actually expecting of you ahead of time. Be cognizant of just what kind of extracurriculars or things that are going to be your additional fees. But also, what are you looking for? Is it okay to get an Airbnb and find a local co-working place? Are you looking for more of the co-living situation? And the internet isn't needed to be as stable because you don't have to be on Wi-Fi constantly. These are some things to be considering. And then again, from a Christian perspective, some things to keep in mind. Be mindful of what the group is focused on. Are they really there more for partying and living at large, or are they there to work? Is it a co-ed style or gender separated dorm rooms? Keep doing very intentional research before booking, read reviews, and just understand that as a Christian, we have to be flexible. This is an opportunity to live with other people, and people are sinful, us included. And we need to be aware that part of reshaping and living in a community that's different from maybe living in an apartment on our own is that we're going to be faced with some of those selfish tendencies that we have, that others have, and we have to come alongside our others, have accountability and encouragement. So this would be an important time for me to mention that if you're looking to build a global network of Christians who like to travel, if you're wanting to find those kind of connections and help make those connections around the world, you can join us at christiantravelers.net. Our mission is to make a global community for Christians to connect around the world and have that support, even if you are traveling with others who have different beliefs than you, but to have that accountability and encouragement. So head to christiantravelers.net to learn more. If you feel like sticking around, this video would be a really great one to watch. It's a good one about our story and how we are just beginning the process of learning what it means to work remote. And so, of course, follow along and learn more there. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, safe travels and God bless.